So, Fiqh of Salat. So, we're going to begin about Kitab al-Salat. And for those first-timers, we're using a book called Tahsil al-Zururi. Tahsil al-Zururi is usually taught to advanced level of people who are learning Fiqh. But what I do is I pick and choose from the book. Some of the things are difficult, so we leave them out. And some are necessary, so we'll go ahead and explain on that. So, the very first thing, as you notice, is the meaning of Salat itself. Can somebody tell me? These are simple things. Salat ke maane kya hai? So, ek to hai namaz, yes. Connection, good. What else? I put some of them on the paper too. The word Salat. Submission, no, that would be Islam. Praying, yes. So, regular namaz is called Salat, but Salat is used in the Arabic language for many different things as well. So, in here, I put down some of them just for dua. Dua is also called Salat. Now, how do we know that? Because in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِي. That Allah and His angels, they do salat on the Prophet. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. We hear this every Jummah in the khutbah. So He's saying, oh believers, صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ. Make dua on Him. So صَلُّوا, the literal translation is to make dua for Rasulullah s.a.w. that Allah raises His rank. Right? Sallu alayhi. Now, there is a difference here. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not making dua for Rasulullah, if we connect it to Allah, then Allah and the angels, they make dua on the Prophet. In terms, in reference to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it means that Allah showers His mercy. So, sallu in reference to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will mean that Allah showers His mercy on His Prophet. And the angels, they make dua. So, in reference to the angels, it means making dua on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So, Urdu mein hum kehte hain durood. So, many of the Arab, they say, salli ala nabi. They will say that, that's basically, they're saying that, recite durood sharif. They'll say, salli ala nabi. They use the word salat in different forms. So, salli ala nabi will mean that make dua on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Right? So, that's why the word salat is not just for the particular five-time salat. It's used for dua, it's used for ibadat. Yes, it's famous for the meaning of namaz. Now, namaz we use a lot. The word namaz is actually a Persian word. It's taken from Farsi and is mixed with Urdu. And Urdu language itself is mixed with many words of Arabic language and Persian language. That's why some scholars even say that Urdu doesn't have an origin. It was made by taking different words from the Persian language and the Arab language. That's why in the early ages, you'll find that the books are basically in Arabic and in Persian. And the scholars in the early ages had to learn Farsi. It was part of their syllabus. That was the original language for knowledge for Arab and Persian. So, namaz basically means ibadat as well. But it's used now all over for salat. So, technically, you'll see on the paper it says that that's the definition of Salat, one of the five pillars of our faith, obligatory religious duty for every Muslim, physical, mental, spiritual act of worship that is observed five times every day at prescribed times. Now, if you will notice that after knowing the meaning of Salat, we have to know that this is one of the most important fundamental pillars of our religion. Like, without it, there is no Islam. And one hadith points out that if a person doesn't pray, that's the difference between him and a non-Muslim. That salat itself. So, why is that? Scholars have said that when people pray, they come out of their homes, they go into an environment, they pray with a jamaat. So, apparently, there is a sign that this person is Muslim. Right? When he comes to pray salat, you'll notice that this person is going to the masjid. So right away, people will give witness and shahada, yes, I know he's a Muslim because he goes to pray. Everything else, if you look at it, if I say I have iman in my heart, it's hidden. Others can't give witness of what's inside my heart. Nobody can do that. Only Allah knows. But salat is one of those things that's apparent. It's out there. So a person might be going to the masjid for salat, and others, even non-Muslims, will say this is a Muslim because I've seen him go to a masjid at five times a day. So it's a difference between iman and kufr. And in the Quran, if we remember in Surah Al-Ma'un, أَرَيْتَ الَّذِي يُكَذِّبُ بِالدِّينِ فَذَلِكَ الَّذِي يَدُعُ الْيَتِيمِ وَلَا يَحُضُّ عَلَىٰ طَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينِ فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ. That halakat ho, in Urdu it says halakat ho, aise namaziyon mein, جو ایسے نمازیوں کے لیے جو نماز میں کوتاہی کرتے ہیں. فار دوز اٹ ول بی ڈسٹرکشن, دوز ہو آر ان اویئر آف دیئر صلاح. ناؤ واٹ ہیپنز ایٹ دیٹ ٹائم, اٹ واز ریلیٹڈ ٹو منافقین. دے ور دوز ہو جسٹ پرے ون ایوری ون از لوکنگ. Okay, everyone's going to be there. The Prophet says, I'm going to notice who's not there. So they would be the first one to come. That was the mentality of the munafiqeen. So the Quran talks about them, that they are people who pray, but they're very neglectful in their prayer. If they had the chance to run out and hide, they would go ahead and hide. But unfortunately, those qualities have been developed because of weakness of iman. We find these type of qualities today in believers as well. So, فَوَيْلُلْ. There's such a strict hukum that has been given. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, the mufassirin say that the word wail is actually a particular type of valley. It's so extremely hot in a valley of Jahannam that the Jahannam itself takes refuge from it. That's how bad that area is. So Allah says it's for those individuals that are neglectful in their salah, those who don't pray, or either they pray to show off to others. They're not very knowledgeable about their salah. Very neglectful, we can say. The head of the body, when the body is there, if the head is said to be the most important part of the body. And that's how it's described by Rasulullah himself, that the salat is of that nature. So without salat, the person doesn't really have his faith with him. He might be saying that I'm a Muslim from inside, but because of the fundamental thing missing in his life, people will have a hard time telling that whether he is Muslim or not. See, that's how basic this is. This is why when we say we're learning about the Salat, the importance of that is connected. So if we take importance for Salat, for learning it is also important. So Rasulullah ﷺ was invited where? All the way to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give this beautiful gift of Salat. We should always remember these things. When we are praying, it becomes ritualistic. But if we think that, oh, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave this as a gift, you know, it's not, look at the life of a non-Muslim, that it's morning, evening, they hardly put their heads down in front of their Lord. Right? And that's why they fall into depression, because there is nothing that's helping the inner self. There's no positivity. They feel bored, like, okay, I've accomplished this much in our life, and I have this much money, I have this much things, and my life starts and ends. I go to work, come back, go to work, come back, and everything is in that same order. They don't understand that what if I die, what will happen after that. So for a Muslim, he's reminded 5 times a day, he's putting his head down, he's saying اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ, he's making dua, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا. So again and again is to keep his focus on the target, that look, akhirat is the truth, jannat is where you're headed, you have to work for it. So this is what we find in the importance of salat. Inshallah, I'll start now. We've already done Surah Ma'un, that was one of the examples of the importance of salat. Now, in many, many ahadith, I just picked out some. Notice it's the first thing to be questioned. أَوَّلُ مَا يُحَاسِبُ بِالْعَبْدُ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ الصَّلَاةِ. That means when people are starting their accountability, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be asking people about their salat first. And if it's good, then this person, rest of the amal, will be following along, that Allah is happy with him now. That means there will be more flexibility in the rest of the accounting. But when it comes to the opposite side, this person didn't pray, right away the wrath of Allah will begin from right there. So now you'll have trouble with the rest of the amal that are coming up for accountability. So Allah put it first to show it's important. See, in this hadith, Rasulullah ﷺ said, I made it first for your ummah. Now this hadith says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said. So what type of hadith is it? Do we know? If in a hadith Allah says, then it becomes what? Hadith al-Qudusi. So these type of hadith hold more important than the regular, because here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking the responsibility that I am saying. So Rasulullah said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stated or said in a sacred hadith, I made it. So Allah is saying, I made it first for your ummah to perform 5-10 prayers, and I have made a promise to myself, if someone comes to me by paying attention to performing 5 daily prayers, I will send him into Jannah. It's as clear as it can get. I have nothing to say for the one who does not pay attention to the prayers. I think there's a mistake. Oh, I have nothing to say for the one who should be not there. That's a mistake there. So Allah is taking responsibility of Jannah for a person who offers his salah. That's how important these things are. And when we think that, okay, maybe I'm praying, so think about those many, many Muslims who are still out there not praying. So So it's very sad. My friend Rasulullah gave me the following advice, that even if you are chopped up. Now this was a very scary narration, that if you are put in a place where you're being forced to leave everything, then again Rasulullah said that even if you are chopped up or burnt alive, do not associate partners with Allah. Do not miss your salah. So in the battlefield, the Sahaba ikram were in many situations where they had to choose. And they would have to make this decision, should we pray right now or we might get killed? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed a way of salat, which is known as salatul khawf. So this was only done in the battlefield. And what would they do? That half of the Muslims will be fighting and the half will be praying. So it was to show importance that even if your life is at stake, the salat cannot be missed. So we have to wonder about these things. It's a lesson for us. So they would divide into two groups. The imam would lead the first group. The second group is facing the army. They're making sure that nobody gets to this group. After they do their sajda, their first rakat is finished, then they go ahead and they join the battle. And the first group then comes and prays the second rakat with the imam, and they pray it as their first. So it's allowed, it's only in salatul khawf to do this. It's not a regular form of salat. But still, the salat has to be done. So one rakat, then they go back. And they switch one rakat. And at the end, you'll have one group that prays the final rakat on their own, because the imam will finish after two. So that's the way of how it's done when the life is at stake. See, the prayer is very clear. Rasulullah says the pillar of Islam. Now for children, now we're moving forward. The ruling is Fardh the Ayn. And we already talked to this in the early sessions of fiqh, that there's Fardh Kifaya and Fardh Ayn. Do we remember these two difference? Anybody remember? What's Fardh Ayn, Fardh Kifaya? So Kifaya, yeah, we can remember it by the word. Kifaya means sufficient. It will be covering for a lot of people. Let's say Janaza Salat. Now, if in this area someone passes away, every Muslim in the area is responsible, it's a right on him to pray his janazah. But if some people, one masjid does it, 10 people, 20, 50, some do it, then that means the farz obligation that was on everyone is now finished. So some did it, farz kifaya is enough for everybody else. But if nobody did it, everyone will become sinful. Okay, so that's what farz kifaya is. Do you understand this? Do you follow me? So farz kifaya, it's sufficient for numerous people. But farz ayn means one by one, one by one. I can't pray salat for brother Shariar. I can't pray salat for one brother. He has to do his own. Right? Everyone has to do their own. So salat falls in that category, that is farz ayn. Now, if a person is on deathbed or he passes away, it is allowed for him to write down a wasiyat and say that this is how many salat I was unable to pray. Let's say he writes it on his wasiyat, I can't do this or I couldn't do it. And he writes it and then he passes away. So those that are left behind, his relatives, anyone who is fulfilling the will, they're not going to pray on behalf of him, but they're going to pay sadaqah on behalf. Because the ability of farz ayn was only on that person. Somebody else cannot do it on him. But they can pay, because he has passed away, they can pay the amount of sadaqah fitr for every salat that he's missed. Now, it's up to the relative. If they do it, it's good. If they don't, then if he didn't leave behind any money, so it's not a responsibility on another person that he has to do it. So, it's just to give an example that farz ayn cannot be transferred onto others. It's something that is individually an obligation. So, in the ruling of salah, we find that it's farz ayn, and it's also on every mature sane, which means a person who is not mentally ill, man and woman. Denying its obligation constitutes to disbelief. So if somebody doesn't pray, it's a different issue. He's lazy, he's sick. But if he says, no, it's not farz, I don't believe it to be farz, that's the point that throws the person out of Islam. So this is also something to learn here, that when we say things, we have to be careful. A lot of our words can affect our nikah, they can affect our iman, right? So these are one of those things. A lot of people, when they speak ill about injunctions of Islam, that's first thing a Muslim should not be doing. But if he doesn't personally understand it, he should say, I don't understand it, or I'm weak, make dua, I'll start praying. That's a good thing to say, you'll have hope. But if he says, I don't think it should be farz, or I don't think it's farz, oh, now that's a big problem. So it's kufr. Now this person has to bring iman again. He has to basically say the shahadat again. That's how delicate this masala is about salat. Any of the pillar things that are proven clearly by Quran and Hadith, if somebody says that I don't believe it to be farz, and the Quran is saying it's farz, Hadith is saying, that's where this kind of stuff happens, where people they're basically denying ahkam of Allah. So moving forward, it says that what is the responsibility of Muslim? Now these are basic things. Every believer is responsible of learning, practicing, improving their salat. Now for parents, they have to work on their kids from a very young age. And that's why it's a good idea that when we pray, the kids should be standing there and they watch us do. So a lot of the things are already in the head of the child. Now when he's getting to, now we follow this hadith, Rasulullah said, order your children to make salat when they are 7. Hit them when they are 10 and separate them in their beds. The first thing is 7-year-old. Now a 7-year-old is not mature. He's still a very young child. The reason to start off so early is that by the time he hits maturity, he's not even going to miss one salat. That's why it's such an early start. So usually males, they become mature at age of 14 or 15, or some even 16. So the scholars have said 4 to 15-year-old. So let's say from if a person is being ordered by his parents since the time he was 7 to pray. So that's almost 8 years. And now when he is 15, he's going to start. He has already started. Right? So that's why is the wisdom behind this, that the 7-year-old. Now hit them, what does that mean? It doesn't mean physical abuse. It doesn't mean that many times these type of ahadith and ayat are taken out and they say, oh, this is in Islam and that is in Islam. Hit them here means punishment. That they should be afraid that you might get hit or you might be punished. Now in this time of age, that's not the way to go. We should go ahead and have other punishments where the children actually understand. Or anything that they love, you can go ahead and say you can't have it. You can go ahead and say that if you do this for this much time, like in school they have detention, or you're supposed to go somewhere out for fun. You say, no, you didn't pray, we can't do it. So the child has to understand from an early age that this is something important. And they won't have the fear of Allah, but they can have the fear of their parents. And later on, as it develops, they will know that it's great consequences for not praying and separate their beds. That's a different subject, but here we should know, because it came up, that if we are living in an apartment, or if we are in a place where children are sleeping with us for a very long time, we have to be sure that it's not up to this much amount of age. They should have been separated by now. It's a big problem if they are in the same room. And as we see the children, a new generation coming, they are very, very smart from a very young age. If you notice that, if you ask the stories of our grandfathers, they'll say, when we were young, we didn't even know this. When we were young, we didn't even do this until this age. And then you find kids of now, this time, they'll say that, oh, even at 6-7 years old, they will just say that, oh, they already know many things, right? So imagine that, if their mind is opening up early, and if things that they're not supposed to know come up, it can become a problem, and psychological disorders come into effect. So it's important, and every statement of Rasulullah has many, many, many wisdom. So before they hit 10, we should have arranged something for them, that a different room, or you know, if it's a very small area, then in the living room you can make a partition, but make sure they're not sleeping with us till this age. They're still not baligh, you know, they're still kids, they're not mature, but Rasulullah has said that by the time they're 10, they should have been separated. Yes? I didn't understand. Can you repeat? The question is that if they prayed before and then after 15 they're not praying, can it be said that those salat are going to be substituted? No, the salat cannot be moved around. They're with the time and with that individual. The way it can't be transferred from one to another, it cannot be transferred from time to time. So everything that a child does before being baligh, if it's good, the reward is given to the parents. And if it's bad, the burden of the sin is on the parents as well. That's why it's being ordered, they order them, because you're actually saving yourself. The Quran is saying, save yourself and your family from the fire. And in many cases, that if they're not baligh yet, what will happen? The sin will be on the parents that they didn't teach. Right? So this is what, in this case, 7 to 10, both of these amounts are younger than being 15, of course. But it's to train. The whole time will be training. Right when this person hits puberty, he will be, inshallah, praying his salah. Because the importance has been instilled. Now, Fard Ayn already explained on that. Okay, now the posture of the salat, I think that's the only thing left for today. There are two things to understand here. One is that when we speak about the men's salat and the women's salat, there is a difference. And a lot of problem has been caused by people saying that, oh, Rasulullah prayed in one way, then men, women, everyone should just pray in that way. The Hanafi fiqh, the Maliki fiqh, the Hanbali, Shafi fiqh, all of them, they understand these ahadiths where we pray as we see Rasulullah or our elders have seen Rasulullah. It's been transferred at all times. But for women as well, there has been instructions. This is something, and inshallah, in next time's session, we'll go through step by step the differences. But this posture, this is for the men. Now, if we can, I was thinking that because there's a small amount, if we can do it one by one, have everyone stand one by one, and I can look at how they're standing. Can we do it this way? So this way, if we're making a mistake, the reason I'm making this the first thing to talk about is because if we're making a mistake here, and we're learning the du'as, we're learning other things, this is the, one of the basic things. If your face is not in the correct way, it could be off track. Many posture in salat, if the face moves away from the qibla, you're out. That's it. The salat has been finished. Now your mind might be telling you, continue, and you're making du'as, and you're making... So these are those things that are very, very basic. Every person here should know already. But we do it as a reminder. Sometimes in jama'ah we do it. But here I think we can cover, if we do this today, and then we can go into the ahadith of where the difference is. This is for the sisters. So the sisters that are here today, they can follow along with the diagram. It's pretty easy to understand that how the sisters should make their postures. So let's start with the brothers here. Who would like to volunteer first? And I will go ahead and just explain that if there's a problem, we'll fix it right away, inshallah. You want to start first? Okay, come on.
Can I ask you?
Yes.
I might be getting help. When you're going to your...
Oh, yes.
So in figure four, I got...